Please turn with me here tonight to the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Revelation, chapter 20. And we have been dealing with this series on authority and submission. I believe it's an absolute critical series in the Bible. I believe actually there's terrible things happening in the body of Christ because either people don't submit or they don't understand how to correctly handle authority. Authority can be a dangerous thing if it isn't in the hands of God. But also submission could be a dangerous thing if it's not under the lordship of Christ. If you submit to people you shouldn't do, or when you shouldn't do, you will get abused. Or if you handle authority and you think you have authority that you don't have and that God hasn't given you, you will abuse others. That's why it's so important to understand this thing of authority and submission. But here tonight, our message is reigning with Christ, reigning with Christ. Reading from Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their heads, foreheads, or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's pray together. Father, we do honor your word. We respect your word. We preach your word. We don't want to deviate away from it. We don't want to add to it. We don't want to take it away. Nor, God, we know it's your Holy Spirit that gave us this word. It's your Holy Spirit that wrote it. It's your Holy Spirit that inspired it and has preserved it perfect and brought it to us even in this church tonight. And, Lord God, we do believe that you know all things. You understand all things. Lord God, you know the past, you know the future, you know every person, you know their every thought, you knew them in the womb, and you'll know them Lord God, in eternity to come, Lord God, I do pray, give us a sense of eternity, even in this gathering tonight. Give us an awareness of authority and submission of what it is you're doing in our life now, that we might reign with Christ upon the earth in the age to come. Just bless your word, illuminate our minds, enlarge our hearts, inspire us, and warm us in Jesus' name. Amen. My message tonight, reigning with Christ. Last week we preached from Revelation chapter 20 on reigning upon the earth. This week I want to continue reigning with Christ, or reigning with Christ upon the earth. You'll find this theme all the way through the Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. And this is just an example. I could pull out 100 verses like this. Listen to what he writes in 2 Timothy 2. If we suffer, talking about this lifetime, as a Christian, as a believer, if we suffer for believing in Christ and following Christ and obeying Christ, if we should suffer, do you know, it's not God's will that you don't suffer in this lifetime. You won't find that in the Bible. There are troubles in this lifetime. You will suffer in this lifetime, guaranteed. If you are exempt from it, or if you can tell me you've never suffered, I want to shake your hand after the meeting. And I want to warn you, suffering will visit you in this lifetime. But listen what the apostle writes. If we suffer, we shall also reign with them. What's he saying? He's speaking to the Christian and he's saying, if you suffer with me on the earth, in your lifetime, if you go through trials and troubles, and if you suffer for following Jesus, then you will reign with me. Notice one of them is present. The suffering is now. The reigning is future. And the future reigning with Jesus on the earth is connected to our suffering now. If you aren't willing to suffer for Jesus now, you won't reign with Jesus in the future. If you're not willing to bear your cross now, you're not going to sit on a throne in the future. If you're not willing to bear reproach and mocking and scorning from sinners or your family or those in your house in the state, if you're ashamed to say, I'm a Christian, if you don't want to tell people, I believe in Christ, I want to assure you on that day at his throne, he's going to say, I don't know you. If you're ashamed of him now, he'll be ashamed of you then. If you don't bear your cross now, you certainly won't sit on his throne. There's a connection between what happens here and what happens there. What we do with authority and submission here in our lifetime, in the church, in the family, in the workplace, in the government, is going to affect what you do in the age to come. He says, if we deny him, he also will deny us. Now notice in the verses that we just read here, that the 1,000 years is mentioned 6 times. 6 times this period of 1,000 years is mentioned. And it's so clear, not once, not 5 times, but 6 times it is mentioned again and again and again. And there's many Bible teachers or preachers or Christians, thank God they're not around here, but they make this symbolic. They say 1,000 years, it doesn't mean 1,000 years. Now I know people like this, and they say this isn't a literal 1,000 years. It's not a future 1,000 years. Now some of them, and I know them very well, and they say the 1,000 years started when Christ died on the cross, and this number 1,000 is symbolic, and it means an unspecified long period of time. I want to tell you, I disagree with that, and I don't believe that we're living in that 1,000 years mystically now. Neither do I believe it's past, it's future. This 1,000 years mentioned 6 times is actually future, it's not symbolic. Let me give you an example of how people play with numbers in the book of Revelation. You know, in chapter 17 about the mother of harlots, the mother of Babylon, and we know in the vision she's sitting upon 7 mountains. And I've heard many people teach, and they say the 7 mountains are not literal. They are symbolic. That isn't true, you know. And that's what an awful lot of Bible teachers, they actually teach, but they're absolutely wrong. Look at it with me, chapter 17 and verse 9. It actually says the seven heads. Notice it's the seven heads are symbolic, not literal. They're not real heads. This is a vision of a beast with seven heads. So the heads are symbolic. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. So notice, whoever this woman is in Revelation 17, she sits on seven literal physical mountains. It's a city in the world, a mega city that sits upon seven mountains. It's not symbolic. I've heard people say the number seven is symbolic. No, it's not. The seven heads represent seven mountains. And they're trying to say the mountains are symbolic. No, they're not. They're not a symbol. The heads are symbolic. And I'm saying this because many teach differently. And you've got to know. Saints, it's all there. In chapter 17, he sees a vision of seven heads. An angel comes along and says, I'll tell you what those seven heads are. Then here in Revelation chapter 20, we read of 1,000 years. Now, are we to believe all these other preachers who say, oh, it began, it's just a mystical number? No. Because it doesn't say that. It says it's 1,000 years. And I'm going to prove that it is actually set in the future. This 1,000 years it talks about, mentioned 6 times. 3 times it's connected to Satan. He speaks about it and he says, this 1,000 years has a connection with Satan himself, the devil. 2 times it's connected to the saints reigning upon the earth. And 1 time it's actually talking about the space or the resurrection between the resurrection of the saints and the resurrection of sinners. It's the period between these 2 points. And all of them refer to time. An actual specified time. And when you're dealing with the devil and with the saints ruling on the earth and the resurrection of the righteous and the wicked, we are talking about an actual period of time of 1,000 years. Notice how this chapter 20 begins. It begins with the word and. And. Do you know, when I was at school, I didn't learn much, sad to say. But there are some things I did learn. And is a connecting word. Don't start a sentence with and. I had a teacher, an English teacher, in 1B1, the lowest class in first year, and she taught me, never start a sentence with but. I can hardly use the word now. She taught me so well. Every time I go to write but, I feel guilty. I still haven't got out of it. Go strike out, delete the word but, find some other word. Mrs. Henderson has marked my life. I can't get free of her. She's in the grave now, but her words still go. You know, the word and is a connecting word. It comes in the middle of a sentence, not at the beginning of a sentence. And the word and, it means, don't disconnect chapter 20 from chapter 19. Chapter 19 goes before chapter 20. Chapter 20 goes after chapter 19. You say, well, that's logical. Not to a lot of preachers. They say, well, you go up to chapter 19 and it's in, and then suddenly we go back in church history. You don't do that. What happens in chapter 19 happens before this period of 1,000 years. Hear that? It happens before this 1,000 years. Not during it, not before it. It happens after what happens in chapter 19. What's in chapter 19? The coming of Jesus. The return of Jesus Christ to the earth, to reign upon the earth. Do you know Jesus Christ is coming back again? He's not coming back invisibly. He won't come back secretly. He's going to come back. In chapter 19, we see him coming back physically, visibly, literally, to the earth, to reign upon the earth. And that's what's going to begin the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. There is a 1,000-year period that we read about here. Notice that the end of chapter 19 finishes with the destruction of Antichrist. and of the false prophet. This is all just before the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. What happens to bring in this 1,000-year? Jesus needs to come back physically. He needs to destroy the Antichrist. He needs to destroy the false prophet and cast them into hell, or else the 1,000 years will not begin. And the devil gets cast, gets bound with a chain and cast into the pit. So we see all these things happening. Notice that something happens to the devil before the 1,000 years. And something happens to the devil after the 1,000 years. At the beginning, he is bound with the chain and put in the pit. Now those who try to make 1,000 years mystical, they say that happened at the cross. Satan was bound at the cross. No, he wasn't. What does Peter actually write? When Peter's writing to the church, he says that the devil goeth about as a roaring lion. What, in a pit in hell? Do you realize the devil isn't in hell? You know all those pictures and stories? You see someone going to hell and they're tormented by demons. It doesn't happen. And they think that the devil is going to torture them there. It doesn't happen. The devil is not in hell. Neither are all the demons ruling in hell. The only angels in hell are actually chained up. They're not there torturing people. There's no such verse or teaching in the Bible. You won't find it anywhere. It's not there. We have a picture in our mind. The devil now is going about on the earth as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's not bound yet. He is going to be bound before the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. He is going about trying to destroy Christians. That's what he's actually trying to do. And notice that when Christ comes back, it says in chapter 19:15, he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He's not coming back as the babe in a manger. He's not coming back as the Jesus on the cross suffering for sin. He won't ever suffer for sin again. When he comes back, he's coming back as a king. And he's coming back to rule. And he's going to rule with a rod of iron. And he won't suffer any rebellion or any rejection. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's literally what's going to happen. But here in this message tonight, reigning with Christ, I want to give you 5 specific points about those who are going to reign with Christ on the earth. Not everybody's going to reign with Christ. Not everybody is going to be saved. Not everybody is going to be on the side of the Lamb. You see, vast billions of people are going to find out it's too late, that they missed their opportunity. What you do in this lifetime is going to affect you for that 1,000 years and for eternity. If he doesn't reign in your heart here, he won't reign over you there. And you sure won't reign with him. Your decision of what you do with Jesus Christ in this short lifetime that we have, what you do with Jesus, what you believe about him, how you live for him, it's going to affect your entire life for eternity. Eternity. What you do with him, you've got a short period of time in what you're going to do with him. Are we in these verses? Yes, if you're born again, if you love Jesus. Notice in chapter 19, verse 7, it talks about the Lamb's wife. Who is the Lamb's wife? It's the church. It's those who are going to be given to him in marriage. In verse 8, they're called saints. So the Lamb's wife, the church, are saints. All of them are saints. Saints aren't special people. They are Christians. What does the word saints mean? It means holy one. I've never met a Christian who wasn't holy. Not one. Do you hear me? I've never met a Christian, not once in my entire life, who's living like the world and for the world, who speaks like the world. I've never met them. Yes. You see, either you're in the world or you're in Christ. You can't be halfway. You can't live like a sinner and yet think that Christ is going to accept you in that day. You can't. That's why it says, choose you this day who you're going to serve. If you're going to serve me, serve me. If you're going to love the world and live in the world, go live in the world. Yes. And Jesus to the churches in Revelation, he said, I would rather you're burning hot or freezing cold. I hate lukewarm people. You know, the lukewarm person, they come along to church. In fact, sometimes when, if there's no football match on, or if there's no relatives coming to visit, or if they don't have to work, or if they don't have all this busy schedule, well, sure, they'll fit God in. Sure, God understands. He's a God of grace, isn't he? Oh, he fully understands. You bet he understands. If you can't even put God first in the practical things of life, you don't love him.
Right.
You don't love him. You're not living for him. That's how sinners live. You know what sinners do? They say, oh, I'm going to heaven and I love God and he knows me and he lives in my heart, but I can live like the world. That's what a sinner does. A Christian doesn't do that. A Christian is utterly opposed to that sort of idea. Now notice, it says that it's not only the Lamb's wife, they're called saints. And in verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him when he comes back. Who are these armies? So we're not only a bride, we're not only saints, but we're actually an army. And when Jesus comes back again, we come with him. We've already been caught up to be with him, but we come with him when he comes to be king. What a day that's going to be. You know, you're not going to be just hanging around waiting for it. Can you imagine coming with the King of Glory? He's not coming as a sinner, he's not coming as a suffering savior. He's not coming to be rejected of men or to have a crown of thorns placed on his head or to be nailed to a cross. He is coming with a rod of iron. No enemy is going to stand against him. No king, no prince, no army. He is coming with his army. I'm going to be in the army of God, you know. I'm a good soldier of Christ now, but I assure you, that's only training. Because I'm coming part as a part of the army of God. It's a military force, not a democracy. Oh well, what do you want to do? Do you want to serve God? You don't have to if you don't want to. That's not the church. The church is a military army. If your life isn't in order, why not? If you walk differently than the rest of us, why is that? If you think you can just be an individual and you're not bound or committed to anybody or committed to any church or faithful to other Christians, why is that? We're an army who marches to the same beat and we've got a general and we're coming back with him when he comes to reign. So we're a wife, we're a saint, we're also in the army of God. And verse 19 again, it says, his armies, they're the armies of Jesus Christ. But let me bring you to these 5 points in chapter 20. 5 points about when we come back to reign on the earth 1,000 years. And that's not the end, that's only the beginning. That's only a little taste of what eternity is going to be. 5 things about God's people reigning on the earth. Now the first thing we find in verse 4, after Satan is cast into hell, into the bottomless pit and chained up for 1,000 years. Notice how long he gets put in the pit. 1,000 years. He's deceived the nations. You know, presently the nations are deceived by the devil.
Yeah,
and you know in Isaiah, a day comes when all the kings of the earth are going to look upon the devil and upon Antichrist. They're going to say, this man made the nations to shake. This man deceived the nations. How was it possible that this man should deceive all nations? Do you know the devil has deceived the nations of this world? And that's the way they are. Don't blame God for all that's going on in our world.
Right.
Don't blame God for all the famines. Don't blame God for the poverty or the crime or the murder or the tragedy or the suffering. Don't blame my God. It's not my God, there's a real devil, and he actually is on the earth roaming. He not only tries to devour the saints, he actually deceives the nations, entire nations. It says the whole world lieth in the wicked one. That's what the Bible actually says. Now notice here what it says from verse 4. And the first thing that you see about those who are going to reign on the earth, these believers, and says in verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Notice here, those who are going to reign with Christ when he comes back physically. You see, if he doesn't come back physically, you can forget your resurrection body. And you can forget about reigning on the earth. If he doesn't come back physically to the earth, you actually lose every promise in the Bible. All of it, you'll have to symbolize all of it. If he comes symbolically, or internally, spiritually, sure, he's here already. Christ is here. He is in me. He is in the church now. He's already here spiritually, but he's not coming back spiritually. He's coming back physically. He leaves heaven for the earth because he's going to reign, and that reign is physical. It is literal. It actually does happen. And it says, when he comes back, I saw thrones. Remember Daniel last week? He says, I saw the thrones fall. I saw all thrones coming down. Now John says, oh, but this is the reason. I saw thrones, not just one. Not talking about Christ here. It's talking about us. It's talking about his people who reign with them. I saw thrones. They actually sit upon thrones. They're seated on thrones. That's a place of authority, of power, of commissioning. We're not coming back as something weak. We're not going to be mocked and laughed at in the street. Saints, when I come back with Jesus, I am coming back on a throne. I'm also coming back on a horse. I'm coming back with them. And it says that they sat upon these thrones and judgment was given unto them. So look at it. These that were redeemed and saved in time, they come back on thrones. And when they come back with Jesus, something happens. They are given judgment. This word judgment is the Greek word krima. The normal word for that we use all through the Bible for judge is krino. Krino, krima is for judge. Remember that series we done? 15 messages on how to judge. That we're meant to judge. That we're commanded to judge. We're commanded to judge all things, not to be critical. Not to be judgmental. We're meant to weigh up things. We're meant to observe things. We're meant to make decisions. That's judgment. And we're commanded to do that in the church. But notice here, when we come back, judgment is giving unto us. The word cremo, actually it's more legal. It means these saints that come back on the throne with Jesus, on their individual thrones, they're going to be given judgment on the earth. They're going to be given the legal power of a judge, of a lawyer, of a policeman, of a guard. They're literally given this power of judgment. And they are going to sit on these thrones on the earth for 1,000 years. And they're given the power to judge upon the earth. I'm convinced you. Let me go a bit further here. In Matthew 19 verse 28. And it says, Jesus said unto them, speaking to his disciples, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, he's talking about in his lifetime, in his ministry, you which have followed me through temptation, through persecution, you that have come with me all the way to the cross, ye which have followed me, and listen what he says, in the regeneration. What's the regeneration? It means the renovation. Something's going to get renovated. In the great renovation. So he's talking about the future. When the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory. So we see there's something called the regeneration. And that's what we call salvation as Christians. When I get saved, I've been regenerated. I've been renovated. I've been made new. So here, Jesus is saying to the disciples, if you live for me here, if you follow me here, there's something coming called the regeneration. When I come back and I'm going to be seated on a throne. What do you think the regeneration is? He's going to renovate the entire earth. He's going to renovate politics. and the school system, and the legal system, and the education system, and all the monetary system, and all the social system on earth. He's going to literally renovate the earth. Do you know what renovation is? It's when you take an old church or an old building, and it's all tore down, it's got broken windows, and it's rotten, and you renovate it, you fix it. It's the same house, it's exactly the same earth, but you renovate it and make it like new. And that's what Jesus is going to do. He says, when I come back on my throne, I'm going to renovate everything. And he says, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones. Speaking of the 12 apostles. If you follow me here, when I come back on my throne, you will sit on 12 thrones. And listen, this is specific to the 12 apostles. Judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Do you know the 12 apostles? Remember, Judas fell from his position and a 12th had to be put in his place. Do you know these 12 apostles are going to judge the nation of Israel? That's the nation they're going to judge. Not just judge a one-off time. They are going to sit. You see, there is still going to be a nation of Israel when Jesus comes back. And an Irish nation, and a British, and an American. All these nations are going to be there, and the African nations. And when Jesus comes back, he said, you 12 apostles are going to sit judging. For 1,000 years, you're going to make decisions in Israel. You're going to carry authority. You're going to carry the power of a judge. You're going to deal with every issue. We're not going to have all the system, the judicious political system of the nations. That's going to be done away with. God's people are going to judge the earth. Listen to me again, it goes actually further in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1. This is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. A preacher writing to a church just like us. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 1. Dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? What's he saying? In that church he's saying, do one of you have an issue with another Christian in the church and you take him to a legal court? You take a Christian in the church, he says, dare any of you do that? That would be like Paul saying he's got an issue with Soph and they've got an issue and Paul says, I'm going to take you to court. And there's a lot of anger and a lot of aggression. They both say they're born again. Sunday morning they'll both be in here worshipping. But Paul says, I am taking you to the court. I'm going to trail you through the court and get my money out of you. Do you know what the Bible says? You dare not do that. You better not do that to a fellow Christian in that church. But he goes further here. And he says, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? The 12 apostles will judge Israel, but the saints, he's saying to the church of Corinth, in one of the most wicked cities on the earth, he's saying, don't you realize in that church that you're going to judge the world? You're going to receive a throne and judgment is going to be given to you. Judgment won't be in the court system anymore. It's going to be given into the hands of the saints. And they are going to judge all the nations of the world. And that's why in the local church he says, you dare not take your brother to court and drag him through a legal court. You know why? Because now you're being prepared to reign in that day. You ought to be able to judge in the church. In fact, it says, you take the person amongst you who is the least. The least among you. And let him judge. Can you imagine that? Forget the judge. Forget the courthouse. Let's take the youngest, simplest Christian in our midst. Let him deal with the case. He ought to be able to. And you know what? You ought to be able to do that because one day you're going to judge the entire world. Do you hear me in this room tonight? There is a day coming when we're going to sit and judge the entire world and you're preparing for it today. All that you do in this church, all that you do in your family and your workplace and in this nation, you are now being trained to judge the world in the hour to come. Let's just think of Daniel chapter 7. Again, remember Daniel 7. It talks about four kingdoms that come in the earth. Then it talks about a fifth kingdom. The four kingdoms are physical kingdoms. And the fourth kingdom is ran by 10 kings who arise. And then another little horn arises called the Antichrist. It talks about the last world government. That's the fourth kingdom. But there's a fifth. The fifth kingdom comes from heaven. It's not of earth. It's when Christ comes back. And in Daniel 7, it talks about Jesus, the Son of Man, coming back to reign. And he's on a throne. Listen to what it actually says in chapter 7 in these three verses. It says when the Son of Man comes, he destroys the little horn. Just like in the book of Revelation, he destroys, who's the little horn? It's Antichrist. He destroys him. Then listen to what it says in Daniel 7 verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom. I thought we had that now. No, the kingdom's in you. Righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You have the kingdom in you. But there's a day coming when Jesus comes back. We are going to take the kingdom. We are going to possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then verse 22. Until the Ancient of Day came and judgment was given to the saints under the whole heaven, in our words, every nation. See again what it's saying in Revelation, it's saying in Daniel. When Jesus comes back again and destroys the little horn, the kingdom is going to be given to the saints. Judgment is given into their hands. In other words, the power of attorney, the power to judge all nations is actually given unto them. Then verse 27 in Daniel. And the kingdom and the dominion. What's dominion? Ruling. The kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. On that day, all nations are going to serve him. And we see that judgment is given to them. This is the first thing about them. Those who reign on the earth for 1,000 years, complete power is given into their hands to judge the nations, to rule the nations, to make decisions. There isn't going to be any court higher than the saints of God. What we call the church today is going to rule on the nations. Not before Jesus comes, after Jesus comes. That's literally what's going to happen. Do you remember in Isaiah 9 verse 6? And everybody talks about this at Christmas time. They don't even know what they're talking about. They think they're talking about a little babe in a manger. Yeah. You know what it says? It says, for unto us a child is born. You could all say it off. Unto us a son is given. And we don't really think much further than that. Who is that child? Who is that son? Jesus. Yeah. Born of a virgin in a manger. But listen to what it says after that. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Utter government is going to belong to him. And then listen what else it says. His name shall be Almighty God. Who is this? The born of a virgin. He is Almighty God. He's not only sent from God, he is Almighty God. There's no one greater. And he's called the Prince of Peace. In other words, when he comes back with the government of the nations, he is going to rule as a Prince of Peace. He is Almighty God reigning upon the earth. And that's the first point. All judgment is going to be given to you. You better prepare yourself. Do you know, bickering in church, fighting in church, people who don't even make judgments in the church according to the Bible. They do. Oh, the Spirit told me. Oh, I felt, I seen a dream and vision. Load of rubbish. Most of that's a load of rubbish. None to do with the Bible. People led with dreams. Hey, I've had dreams and visions and prophecies. I've been shown things to come. But most of it that happens in the church, it's got none to do with the Bible. It contradicts it. But these saints, they're being prepared to use this Bible. If you can't use this Bible and say, this is what should be done in that decision. You know, you ask most Christians, what do you think should happen in this? Most of them haven't got a clue. Most pastors don't have a clue. Can I tell you that's from personal experience in my years? I've dealt with an awful lot. Most of them don't know how to make a judgment. How are you going to reign on that day? We better get prepared as a church. We are going to reign. But the second point here, who are they in verse 4? They were dead, but now they're going to be physically or bodily resurrected. They're going to get a new body. What does it say in verse 4? And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. He mentions just one group here. A group who were beheaded. He said they were dead, now they're alive. There's a day coming when Jesus comes back. Those who were dead, who obeyed Jesus, are going to be made alive. But sure, they're with the Lord. To be absent from the body means you're with the Lord instantly. If you were to die tonight and you knew the Lord, you're instantly going to enter His presence. That's what the Bible teaches. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So what's it talking about? What is this resurrection? Is it the resurrection of your soul? No. Is it the resurrection of your spirit? No. It's a resurrection of your physical body. That's what's going to get resurrected. Because when you reign, you are going to have a new body. Not the body you've got now. It will be the same body. And I'm going to look at Frank and go, that's Frank. Everyone always says, are we going to recognize each other in the hour or the age to come? Of course you are. I'll go, sure, that's Helen, that's Mary, that's Margaret. I'll notice you from 100 meters or maybe further. My eyes are going to be perfect then. I'll see you coming like an eagle. I'll say that's them, their swagger, their walk. I can see them coming a mile away. We are going to recognize each other. And this is the second. Not only are we given all judgment, we are given a new resurrection body. That's what happens at the resurrection. Notice when you die as a Christian, you don't get a new body. You are a spirit. You go to be in the presence of God. You worship the Lord. But you're not doing it in a body. Your body is in the ground and it decays. That's what actually happens. It decays there. But you know, in the resurrection, when Jesus comes, you will get a new resurrection body like Jesus did. Hallelujah. Exactly the same. That's what you're going to get, is a body. You're going to be visible. You're going to be physical. It's a literal body. You're not going to look angelic with 6 wings. Angels don't have wings. You know, we all think angels have wings. Angels don't have wings. Never once will you read that. Cherubims do, seraphims do, not angels. They don't have wings. They can look like a man.
That's right.
And when we come back, I tell you, I'll look trim. There won't be a bit of fat in this body. I tell you, I'll probably be back. Me and Candace were talking the other day. Candace said, what age do you think we'll look at? I said, oh, probably about 21. I think so. We'll look our best. There won't be any grey hairs there. No creaking bones. I tell you, no blemish on that flesh. It is a perfect body. You know, Dio showed us a picture. I forget, was it him or his son? He tried to say, that's a picture of me. Didn't know whether he was joking or not. People change with 20 years. You show me a picture of you 20 years later, I go, are you sure that's you? Some poor people, they never change. They look the same from 15 years old all the way through. They've got a touch of heaven upon them. But notice here it says, in this 1,000 years we have a new body. You're not going to reign without a new body. There is an experience of the resurrection of the dead. And he mentions one group here. He mentions a group who have been beheaded. They've died a martyr's death. They have been killed for believing in Jesus. I'll go further. They're killed under the reign of Antichrist. And they didn't worship the Antichrist or his image. They didn't take the mark of the beast on their hand or their forehead. Do you know that's Antichrist system? Just before Jesus comes back, there's going to be a system on the earth. The government is going to set it up, a world government. And you're not going to be able to buy or sell without a mark on your right hand or your forehead. A lot of Bible teachers, they'll say, oh, that's symbolic. It won't literally happen. It means something else. How come they're doing it? How come everything? If I take Bible prophecy literally, how come it's all coming to pass? Literally. Do you know now, right at the minute, I got an email. I didn't organize this. Today I got an email through my Hotmail account. First time I've ever seen it. And they said they're working on a plan now that through this computer system that they're going to have in your spinal column, that you'll be able to buy and sell through it. And that will be the means of economy. I had the email today of someone who keeps up. They're working on this now. You'll travel with this mark on your body. You'll buy and sell with it. You won't function without it on this earth. But we're told of a people who died during that period, they're going to be amongst them that reign. That means that the millennium, thousand year reign, doesn't happen until after Antichrist. It doesn't happen before, it happens after. Because those who refused the mark and have died because of it, they're going to be there reigning with Jesus Christ. Do you think they're disembodied spirits floating around? Oh no, they get a new body. They are made alive again. And notice why, for the witness of Jesus and the Word of God, they suffered on the earth, didn't they? For a short period of 3.5 years, they suffer. You see, if you're not willing to suffer for Him, don't expect to reign in glory. Oh, I want the glory. I want heaven. I want great riches. I want a crown. Do you? Do you really want that? Oh yes, I want to reign with Jesus. We're going to find out if you do or not. Sure, you're ashamed even to mention Jesus Christ to a few people who you live next door to. Or you walk up and down with you, you're ashamed of Jesus. And you think that He's going to say, oh, how you doing, Soph? Come sit on my throne on that day. Saints, everything you do in this lifetime is going to affect you eternally. Everything, absolutely everything. Notice they died for the witness of Jesus. That means the testimony, the revelation of Jesus, for who Jesus is, the knowledge of Jesus and the Word of God. You get a sort of Christian in the church today, they don't even know the Word of God. They don't believe the Word of God. Say, well, I believe that, but I don't believe that. Then you won't be with them in the resurrection. Oh, to suffer for Christ. No, I don't believe we have to suffer as Christians. Sure, it's all a picnic. It just prance through the daisies. Sure, skip through. It's all blessing, all prosperity. It's all fine. Everything's good. Do you know everybody in this world, there's not a man or woman I've met who hasn't had heartache or hurt somehow. Yeah. Not a person.
That's right.
But we're talking about people who suffer for Jesus. It's real, saints. I'm telling you something very real. And it says in verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. When we're resurrected, it's called the first resurrection. And there's a second resurrection. Do you know those who get raised up, their bodies get raised up and reunited with them? That's the first resurrection. Do you know all the sinners get left lying, their bodies get left lying there, and it says they won't get resurrected until the end of the 1,000 years. There's two resurrections, the first and the second. Saints get raised in the first, sinners get raised up in the second. Do you know sinners get a body? Do you realize that? It's not only Christians get a new body. Sinners will get a new body before they get cast into the lake of fire. Do you know why? They're going to have a body that's not going to corrupt and it's not going to burn up. It's incorruptible. It won't fade away. After 1 billion years, they'll still have a body in hell. And it'll be a body that can't be burnt. But it does burn and it does feel. Both get. But there's two resurrections. There's the first. And if you don't go up in that first resurrection, you'll wait 1,000 years to get resurrected and you'll get judged in that second resurrection. There's two resurrections. Jesus said in John 5:28, the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice. Notice in the grave, their soul isn't in the grave. A grave can't hold your spirit. It's your body. All who are in the grave, the bodies, shall hear His voice and shall come forth like Lazarus. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life. They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Two different resurrections. Can I ask you tonight, what resurrection are you preparing for? Are you preparing for the first or the second? For the resurrection of the righteous or the resurrection of the wicked? What's going to happen when you get raised up? Are you going to reign for 1,000 years? Are you getting resurrected to stand in judgment before God? It's only these two choices. There is no third choice. You want to hold the right to choose how you live your life? Well, I can choose whether to follow Christ or not. That's true, you can. But you'd be a fool not to follow Christ. And you may not get a second chance or a third chance or a fifth chance. See, the Bible says you better respond when he calls you. When he speaks to your heart, how do you know God's speaking to you? You feel convicted. You go, he's real. I know he's speaking in my heart. That's how you know he's speaking to you. You better respond to him at that time. In Daniel it says in chapter 12, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. It's a resurrection. Some to everlasting life and some to everlasting contempt. And Paul preaching in Acts 24, there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Paul writing again in 1 Thessalonians 4, and he speaks concerning those that are asleep, those who are already dead in the church. Some of you Christians, you've already died. Brothers, friends, sisters, father, mother, cousin, and they're born again. Our good friends who have died. And the Christians were saying, what about my dead friends? And he says, you know what? If they died in Christ, I don't want you to worry about them. Yeah. Don't want you to sorrow like the world. Oh, it's okay to cry. It's okay to have sorrow. But I don't want you to be like the world. For he says, if they've died in Christ, when God comes, they will come with him. And listen to what it says. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them. For the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's the first resurrection. When Jesus comes back, they're going to rise up out of the grave. What a gathering that's going to be. I can't wait to meet my grandfather again. And my father, he's gone ahead of me. I can't wait to see him. And my little sister that died in a cut death of 3 months, I've never met her, but I'm going to see her. I'm going to look at her. She'll be standing there smiling. I'm going to say, who are you? I'm your sister. The sister that you never knew. Man, what a reunion that's going to be on that day. It is a resurrection of the saints. And you know what? Those who have gone ahead of us, they are going to rise. What about us who remain? It says, then they which are still alive and remain on the earth shall be caught up together. They're going to be snatched away to meet the Lord in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Remember Job in the Old Testament, he believed what I'm telling you. He says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand on the earth in the latter day upon the earth. Listen to what Job's saying. My Redeemer, my Lord, in the latter days, in the last days, is going to stand upon the actual earth. Some don't believe the Lord's going to stand on the earth. I do. Job believed it. He said, my Redeemer is going to stand on the earth in the latter day. It's a literal prophecy. And he says, and though after my skin worms destroy this body of mine, yet in the flesh I shall see God. Do you know what he's saying? I'm going to be back in this body. Worms can eat it, but I'm going to get it back again. It's going to be a literal physical body. I'm going to get it back. And in that body, I'm going to see the Lord standing upon the earth. What a hope Job had. Do you know he said this when he was on a ash heap? He lost his family, all of his children, tragically. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. He lost his friends. He lost his hope. That's a lot to lose, isn't it? But you know what? He still said, ha, there's a day coming. My Redeemer is going to come. My Redeemer, I'm going to see him. And I'll be back in this body. It doesn't matter what the worms do to me. If I go in the grave, I'm going to be back and I'm going to see him for who he is. The third thing, verse 6, it says, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. Those who get raised in this resurrection, who are they? They're blessed and they're holy. Notice how they're marked. They're blessed and holy. For 1,000 years they're going to live on the earth. They're going to be blessed. What does the word blessed mean? Happy. You ever feel sad? Did the enjoyment ever leave you? Do you ever feel down in heart? I want to tell you, an hour is coming in the resurrection. You'll never experience sadness again. You'll never experience discouragement again. Those who reign on the earth, there's no discouragement, there's no fear, there's no sadness. They'll actually reign upon the earth. They are blessed. You know, if you go in the first resurrection, you're a very blessed person. You're an extremely blessed person. You're happy, and that'll be eternal. Do you hear me? There's a day when no cloud is going to be there. There's going to be an end to the trials and the clouds and the shadows. They're going to come to an end. And you'll never see another cloud in your life again. Never. Spiritually, emotionally. Not one. It'll be the end of all your suffering and trials. It's going to come to an end. Those who get raised in the first resurrection and reign, they are happy. But they're also holy. They're holy. I'm talking about something unchanging and eternal. Do you think unholy, you can be unholy here and holy there? Oh, well, I'll just live like the world there. But you know, I really hope I'll have all that happiness in the hour to come. And I want to reign with Christ. And I want to be there experiencing joy without boundaries. Won't happen. They that are holy will see the Lord. You know, it says in Hebrews 12, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. No holiness here. You're not going to see him. You won't reign with him. You won't rule with him. You won't judge the nations. You won't have authority. You won't be sitting there rejoicing. Saints, I have watched too many sinners and backsliders cast away the riches of eternity. What? For a beer? Or for sexual gratification, or for lies, or manipulation, or unforgiveness, or anger, or bitterness. Do you know what they're saying? I don't want a throne. I don't want a crown. I don't want this eternal joy and happiness. I don't want it. I'd rather have my bottle of beer. I'd rather have my drug. I'd rather have my tablet. What a disaster. You see, those who are holy and separate themselves unto the Lord now, they are going to be reigning, judging the nations. The fourth point here, it says in verse 6 again, they shall be priests of God and of Christ. They shall be priests. It's future. It's saying your priesthood in Christ will be future, not only here on this earth. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter 2 and 5. Speaking about the church, ye also, as lively stones, are built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. All Christians in the church are priests. Mary, you're a priest. The next time you see Father Sean, say, Father Sean, do you know I'm a priest? You'll see his jaw drop. You're a female. I'm a priest. You're not in the ministry. You don't know your Latin or your Greek or your Hebrew. Oh, but I know Jesus Christ. That's who I know. Notice here, it says that the church, every member of the church is a priesthood. You know, in the New Testament, it doesn't say one preacher is a priest. None of the ministries make you a priest. It says that every member of the church is a priest. And it says to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God in Christ. Then in chapter 2 and 9 of Peter it says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Notice here it says the church is a royal priesthood. What's royal? It means you're a king as well. You're a royal priesthood. We teach the priesthood of all Christians. All of you, if you be born again, you are a priest now.
Right.
How did you become a priest? It says it tells us in Revelation that it's through the blood that you became a priest. We're all priests. But notice what it says in verse 6. You shall be priests. In other words, it's not only now in the church that you're a spiritual priest who offers up spiritual praise to God. You minister to God as a priest. All of you do that. At least we're meant to do that. But he says there's a future aspect to this. You shall be priests. When you come back to reign, you're going to be a spiritual priesthood. You are going to be a people scattered across the earth, reigning on the earth. You're still going to have a spiritual ministry. Do you know we're going to lead the only religion that's going to be tolerated on the earth? There's only going to be one religious worship. There's only going to be one person worshipped. His name's Jesus. And we are all going to be the priesthood in the millennium during that 1,000 years. But let me bring you to the last point, verse 6. And shall reign with him 1,000 years. We are not only spiritual priests. We reign with him. What type of person sits on a throne? What type of a person reigns? It's a king, isn't it? We actually see that we are going to reign like kings for 1,000 years in the nations that we presently know. We're literally going to reign. Physically going to reign. Nobody's going to oppose. It says in Revelation 1 and 6, and he hath made us. It's already happened. It's already happened. Hear me as we close. It has already happened. He hath made us kings. You never hear this. You never hear it in the church that we have been made kings already. And priests unto God. We hear about the priesthood of all believers, but we don't hear of the kingship of all believers. Luther in the Reformation brought back to the church the priesthood of believers. It's not the priesthood of all believers only. It's also the kingship of all believers. Let me go further here. It says in chapter 5 verse 9, and they sung a new song. Who did? The multitudes in heaven. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals, for thou was slain and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. What a worship that's going to be. This is in heaven. Multitudes gathered from every nation. And they're worshiping saying, you redeemed us by your blood. Listen to the next verse. And has made us unto our God kings and priests. If you're redeemed by the blood, you've been made a king. And we shall reign on the earth. Not only are we reigning, we shall reign. It's a future prophecy. There's a reigning on the earth that we can't experience now. We do not experience. It's for the future. It's for 1,000-year reign on the earth. We shall reign on the earth. Let me give you one last message to the church in Revelation chapter 2. And verse 26, this is a message given to a church on the earth. And it says, and to he that overcometh in the church. What does overcoming? It means subdue. Subdue the flesh. Subdue the world. Subdue the devil. It means to conquer. Prevail. Get the victory. You in the church who get the victory, you're reigning over the devil. Is the devil ruling over you, or are you ruling over the devil? Is the world ruling over you, or are you ruling over the world? Is your flesh dictating to you and ruling your life, or are you ruling the flesh? To him that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Oh, that's spiritual. No, it's not. Oh, that's just mystical, general. No, it's not. He's saying now in the church, if you overcome, if you subdue the flesh, if you stand against the lies of the devil, if you do that in the church and you do that until the day of your death or the coming of the Lord, then you shall rule over the nations. It's a promise. Not everybody's going to be there. What about those who are ruled by the devil and the world and the flesh? And they just lie down and let all these things rule them. You won't be there. You won't be ruling with Jesus Christ, I assure you. And it says, He that rules shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. And as I received of my Father. You know, Jesus rules with a rod of iron, but so do the saints. When he comes back, he's going to put down all power and he's going to do it with an iron fist. It's not a democracy. It's not going to be communism. It's not going to be fascism. It is going to be a theocracy ruled by a king, unquestioned rule on the earth everywhere. But we also are going to rule with a rod of iron. We aren't going to be debating with abortionists. We're not going to be demonstrating or voting. You know what? We the saints are going to say there's no abortion in this city. There's no pornography in this city. There's going to be no alcohol in this city. There's going to be no crime in this city. And you know what? We're going to enforce it and we're going to make it like that. There's nobody going to challenge it. And we'll see this more next week. It is going to be an absolute government and we are reigning with Christ and this reign is going to be manifest on the earth in every town, every city, every nation. It's going to spread over the earth and we're going to enforce it with an iron rod. Nobody's going to stand against it. Do you know in verse 7 to 10 it talks about Satan being released at the end. At the end of the 1,000 years, we're actually told here that Satan gets released out of his prison for a short time to deceive the nations again. This is the last rebellion. The last rebellion in world history. After 1,000 years of world peace. 1,000 years of everything you can imagine. No murder. No war. No heartache. No famine. None of it. It is perfect righteousness on the earth. And yet the devil gets let loose for just one little tiny moment. And do you know what happens? It says multitudes as vast as the sand on the seashore. People from all nations all across the world. They actually follow him. And he comes against the holy city. And encircles it. Do you know what that tells me? No resurrection body stops them. They've seen it all. No physical reigning of Christ on the earth stops them. They have been born. Their parents survived the tribulation. And we'll see this next week. And their parents had children and they had children. And a generation grew up under the reign of Christ and under the ruling of the saints. A generation of sinners born of Adam's flesh still on the earth. They're born into the world and they grew up under peace and a good education system. And they have everything they could desire. It is peace on earth. And you know what they do? They reject it when they're tempted of the devil. Do you see how wicked man's heart is? That it rebels against the authority of Christ. You can say, oh, if it was a perfect state, we would accept. No, you wouldn't. And there's some people, it doesn't matter how it's going to be, they'll never bow the knee to Christ. And they're going to be destroyed eternally and cast into hell. What happens here as they come up and encircle the holy city? It says God sends fire out of heaven and destroys them completely, physically. And he takes the devil and he casts him into the lake of fire. And he takes all these people. And you know what happens? The last judgment and the last death. The second judgment. The second resurrection. The second death. Someone once said years ago, they said, if you're born twice, you'll only die once. And if you're only born once, you'll die twice. Yeah. And tell me if you work it out by the end. Yeah. If you're born twice, you'll only die once. You've been born again. But if you haven't been born again, you will die twice. There's a second death. And you know what? That's the great white throne judgment. Everybody's going to be judged. And you know what? They get resurrected at the end of the 1,000 years. And they're presented before God and they're judged out of the books. And then they're cast into the lake of fire. And saints, it's over. Where are you going to be? I hope to see every single one of you with me in that first resurrection. And to reign with me on this earth for 1,000 years and with Jesus Christ. But vast multitudes, billions of people are going to stand trembling in the second resurrection. And at the judgment throne, they're going to suffer the second death, being cast into hell. Let's pray here tonight. Father, we just pray that you'd open up such a view of eternity, the future of the coming of Jesus, of our reign upon the earth. Let it affect us here and now. Lord God, we don't want to be just carrying...